Hi guys, and welcome back to Lily White Rose, the stars of tomorrow today. John Wenham here, hoping you're all doing safe and well, and thanks for tuning in again and downloading another episode of the pod. Right, where to start? We've got so many youth games to review in today's episode, but we have to start with the news that started to break last night, and we exclusively confirmed on at Lily White Rose that Denis Sirkian is in advanced talks to join Sunderland on a permanent basis. It's fair to say that I'm absolutely gutted about this. Only in November, I recorded a pod with Jack Pitbrook and Charlie Eccleshare at The Athletic all about Denis Sirkian being the next big thing at Tottenham. So it's obviously come as a horrible surprise to see this news coming out and then to have it confirmed. I've also done a piece for the Roker Report, the leading Sunderland blog and podcast, so please do check that out after listening to today's pod. Denis is a player who first caught our eye during an academy showcase game at Portman Road as the Spurs under-15, under-16s teams took on Ipswich in a showcase game. Denis was awarded man of the match as a marauding left-sided player on the day. Since joining the academy full-time, Denis's progress has been rapid, quickly cementing the left-back slot in Spurs under-18s and for England at youth level. Despite the England youth call-up, Denis is actually born in Dublin and also has eligibility to represent Latvia through his parents. Although the move has come as a surprise for many, his admission from the first team pre-season, toppled with a telling Instagram post from his barber saying, "New beginnings," did lead me to have some suspicions. As a first-year scholar, he was straight into the deep end, playing Youth Champions League football. It was at the game against Barcelona at their mini Estadi Stadium he really shone, on the occasion pocketing both Ansu Fati and Elix Moriba. Jose Mourinho was also a huge fan of Denis instantly, taking a liking to him, having caught an eye watching a Youth Champions League game and then making inquiries with John McDermott at the time as to who the player was and what his thoughts on him were. Denis did very well for the under-18s and then the 23s, but unfortunately last year he suddenly lost his father and naturally needed some time away from football, both at club and international level. I do wonder if, you know, this terrible bereavement has led to his progress or focus at Spurs, or, you know, I can't imagine how difficult that must be for a young player to lose their father and someone he was obviously very close to from the Instagram and photos he posted. So we don't know what sort of long-term that effect on him that has had, and I do wonder if that is something to do with making this permanent move and starting afresh and, you know, having a determination and will to go out and prove that he can make it at the top level. I mean, at Spurs he's currently blocked on that sort of first team pathway by the likes of Sergio Reguilón, Ben Davis and Ryan Sessegnon, all battling for that left-back berth. So, you know, he might see this as a time to come, you know, start something fresh. Having watched Denis for the last 4 years coming through the academy and knowing how highly he's valued by both the staff at Spurs and within the youth setup, I will be gutted if he completes this permanent move as mooted. I have seen some reports from the Sunderland side that they've agreed a fee in the region of 1.3 million, which is, you know, no mean feat for a League One club. Obviously, Sunderland are a massive club for that league and shouldn't really be in that division. But, you know, they're only rumours I've seen on the Sunderland side so far. I haven't had that confirmed by anybody, but that would be a fair sort of fee, in my opinion. In more promising news, Alfie Devine has put pen to paper on his first professional contract with the club. The news came out on his 17th birthday, as expected. The deal will run until 2024. Alfie joined the academy from Wigan in the summer of 2020 as a 15-year-old scholar, for a fee of around £400,000, with Jose Mourinho even checking in on his medical to welcome him to the club. He was obviously seen as a massive coup for Tottenham to get over the line. He made his first team debut in our FA Cup win over Marine in January 2021, coming off the bench and becoming the club's youngest ever player and goalscorer. He was on the Spurs' first team bench then for the game at Brighton on January the 31st. Wigan had high hopes for Devine, but they were actually dashed when they had to sell him due to their dire financial position. Actually forced them to sell off a clutch of their most promising youngsters. I know the likes of Jensen Weir went to Brighton. He was another player Tottenham looked at. But in this occasion, we did manage to get Devine over the line. We beat off competition from a number of other clubs, including Leeds United and Chelsea, who were very keen. And it was a big move for Devine to leave his family behind and head down south at such a young age. But he and his family thought that Spurs were the best place to continue his development for a promising young talent. It was really a departure from the norm for us, as we don't usually spend big on young talents, or haven't for a number of years, Dele Alli aside, preferring instead to develop talents from within at Hotspur Way. A well-rounded midfielder with an eye for goal, Devine is said to have an exceptional attitude, drawing comparisons with Harry Kane. I don't know if we can still say that after the events of the last couple of weeks, but you know what I mean. Peter Reid, the former England midfielder and ex-Sunderland and Leeds United manager, who was the technical director at Wigan while Devine was at the club, has said about Alfie, "I remember the first time I saw him, I just thought he had a bit of everything. He could handle the ball, hold off defenders, he had that determination. He's always had that technical ability and has a great chance of making it and reaching the top. Personally for me, Devine is our most talented young player at the club at the moment, and I'm sure this will be a big season for him. Loads of opportunities available in the Europa Conference League as he's too young to head out on loan until next season." In other youth news, Keon Nateté has signed a new contract with the club until 2023 and subsequently joined Northampton Town of League 2 on a season-long loan. This is an excellent move for Keon. It's something I said on the last pod. I'd like to see him go out on loan this year, having already sort of proved himself at under-23 level, being our top scorer last year. The 19-year-old striker joined our academy in 2019 from Notts County, where he'd made 6 first-team appearances, including 4 in League 2. Last season, he scored 9 goals in 21 appearances for under-23s. And I just feel Keon's ready for this loan, so I'm delighted about the move. Northampton manager was speaking about the loan ahead of Keon and said the following: "There was lots of interest in Keon, some from clubs in higher leagues, and we're delighted he's joining us. We believe he will do well for us and that is a move that will benefit all parties. Keon is a player we've tracked closely and watched a number of times. We think he'll be a different type of threat for us and can work well with the other strikers already at the club. He is good with his back to goal and his link-up play is very effective and he provides a goal threat himself. I think it is a big tick for the club, the coaching structure we have in place and the staff we have here, that Spurs believe this is the best place for Keon to continue his development." Troy Parrott has also headed out on loan, this time to League One Milton Keynes. Troy's loan was confirmed literally the day after we played the MK Dons at their stadium in the pre-season friendly, so you have to wonder if he simply stayed there overnight ahead of the move. The 19-year-old striker spent the first half of last year on loan at Millwall in the Championship, making 14 appearances, before playing a further 18 times for Ipswich Town in League One during the second half of the campaign. He scored twice for the Tractor Boys. A senior Republic of Ireland international already, Troy has made 4 competitive appearances for the first team at Spurs so far, and I see this as an excellent loan move for Troy. Look, not all loans work out, and you have to look at the differing degrees of success the likes of Harry Kane, Ryan Mason and Landros Townsend had at the different clubs they were at. Nobody will be more disappointed than Troy as to how last season went for him in terms of goal scoring. He knows he's better than that, and I do too. I have no doubt that if he scores early into the loan spell at MK Dons, he'll build on that and do very, very well. Some Spurs fans have been quick to write off Troy after the lack of goals last season and the emergence of Dane Scarlett. But I'll remind people, Troy was exceptional in the UEFA Youth Champions League against the likes of Barcelona, Real Madrid and Inter Milan. You don't lose that natural ability overnight, and I'm sure he's still to be regarded as an outstanding youth prospect. He is only 19. I plead with you guys, just give Troy time. He will deliver. I rate him very, very highly. Brandon Austin's loan spell at Orlando City has come to an end following the conclusion of his 6-month loan spell. There was some confusion around the time he'd spend on loan, with Spurs initially announcing that it would run for the duration of the MLS season, which runs until December, but Orlando wording it on their official statement as a 6-month loan with the option of a further 6 months. It appears they've not taken up that option after the England under-21 shotstopper made 5 appearances, which were all starts for Orlando, and in those 5 starts, he made a total of 8 saves, keeping 1 clean sheet and picking up 3 wins for Orlando City. Austin was effectively brought in to play while their number one keeper, Galici, who is their number one, was away at the Copa America with Peru. It was highly unlikely he was going to displace Galici long term, but Orlando City's head of soccer operations, Luigi Muzzi, has said on Brandon's time at the club, "We thank Brandon for all his hard work during his time here. The professionalism and dedication he's shown to improve not only himself, but the team as a whole did not go unnoticed. We want to wish Brandon the best of luck in the upcoming Premier League season." I imagine, I imagine that will come off really positively for Brandon. And I imagine Brandon will now be assessed by Nuno and his staff prior to another loan move being arranged for this season, this time hopefully in the UK. This was Brandon's second loan following time he spent with Viborg in the Danish league last year. Brandon, for someone so young at only 22, has had some amazing life experiences already with these loans. A point to note with Brandon is that should we keep him around this season, he would need to be registered in our 25-man Premier League squad, but does count as homegrown and club-affiliated trained, so that's really useful for UEFA squad-building rules. Jibril Okidina has left the club on a permanent basis, joining League One side Cambridge City, where he spent the second half of last season on loan, making 15 appearances as they scored promotion. Jibril will link up with Shiloh Tracy, again, who joined the U's following his release from Spurs in the summer. For Djibril, we probably saw the emergence of Maxim Paskotski, who is 2 years younger than him and playing in the first team during pre-season, added to the involvement during pre-season of Cameron Carter-Vickers, Callum Cisse, Brooklyn's Lions Foster, TJ Yoma, and thought he had a better chance of breaking through elsewhere. Once you get that taste for league football, it's very difficult to then come back and drop back into the 23s. So it seems a sensible move for me for Djibril to go out and cement himself at a League One club, and a really excellent move for him. And especially as he's joining up with Shiloh again, he already knows someone at the club. And from his time last year at the club, he already knows the club. So fingers crossed it worked out to be a really good move for him. I don't imagine we've received any sort of fee for Djibril, with League One clubs very short of money apart from the really big ones like the likes of Sunderland. And obviously during the pandemic, not a lot of money is available. He did have a Spurs contract running until the 30th of June 2022, so we had a year to go, but I really can't imagine a huge fee was involved. Maybe Spurs inserted a sell-on clause like they did with the likes of Marcus Edwards and Luke Amos, so it is something Spurs have looked to do before, but I can't imagine a huge fee was involved on that one. Right, let's move on to the academy players that have been involved in games in pre-season so far, starting with the first team since our last episode on the pod. During the 3-0 win at Colchester, we saw starts for Alfie Whiteman, Maxim Paskotski, Cam Carter-Vickers, Toby Amole, with substitute appearances for Brooklyn's Lions Foster, Malachi Walcott, Callum Cisse, Niall John, Harvey White, Alfie Devine, Troy Parrott and Dane Scarlett. Maxim Paskotski, who had the pre-assist for our third goal, playing the ball down the line to Sonny, was probably the pick of the youngsters in this one, with Niall John also gaining rave reviews again for his role in the second half of the game. We then headed to MK Dons, and naturally as we get deeper into pre-season, more first team players are returning to action, needing to get fitness levels in ahead of the Premier League season. However, we still had a number of academy players involved. Alfie Whiteman started the match and also saved a penalty after just 5 minutes to continue his positive start to pre-season. He's made a really positive impression on Nuno and the coaching staff at Tottenham, and you know, the departure of Joe Hart, I believe, will lead to Alfie being the third choice this season. Hopefully he can get some minutes in the Europa Conference League. Although Pierluigi Gallini does look very good, I was really impressed with his performance at Chelsea on Wednesday night. Niall John partnered Oliver Skipp in midfield, and the young England under-19 midfielder shined again, having a really positive impact on the game. In the second half, Nuno did ring the changes, and we saw the likes of Paskotski, Malachi Walcott, Toby Amole, Harvey White, Troy Parrott and Dane Scarlett all get vital minutes again. The first team's pulsating friendly on Wednesday night away to Chelsea saw far more first team faces return to the fold, with only really Oliver Skipp getting a start from the academy side of players. Dane Scarlett did come on with 10 to go and had an absolutely lovely moment where back to goal, he chested the ball down, controlled it onto his feet in front of the Chelsea defender and then laid the ball out to the far side to create a promising Tottenham attack. It was a lovely moment from Dane, and I imagine it was probably the biggest atmosphere he's played in so far, with about 20,000 Chelsea fans in the stadium baying for our blood. Alfie Whiteman, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Toby Amole and Niall John remained unused subs on this occasion, but I'm sure the experience of travelling with the first team to a London derby will be invaluable long term. Our under-23s put on a show for more than 800 supporters at Enfield Town as they breezed to a 4-0 win against our near neighbours in their second pre-season friendly of the summer. Janiel Bennett set the tone with a terrific strike from distance at a sunny Queen Elizabeth II stadium, which is just a stone's throw from our Hotspur Way training centre. And he was unlucky not to double his tally in similar circumstances within minutes, his second 25-yarder rattling the bar. And it appeared to cross the line as it bounced down, only for the match officials to wave play on. Keon Atete, whose earlier effort might have crept in but was cleared off the line, soon rattled home for 2-0. And Djibril Okudina's header from a corner deflected off a defender and beyond Nathan MacDonald for the third, as we totally controlled the first half. Bennett swept in 6 minutes after the break to complete the scoring and hit our fourth on a thoroughly enjoyable evening with traditional pre-season vibes about it, as locally based fans soaked up the action and enjoyed a chance to meet legendary Spurs former player Gary Mabbutt, who made a half-time presentation of signed items donated to, you know, by Spurs for Enfield Town to raise some much-needed funds for the local non-league club. Our side for this fixture started with Timothy Lotolata in goal, Marcel Lavinia at right-back, Jordan Hackett at left-back, Marcus Murr, partnered in central defence by Djibril Okudina, Matthew Craig and Roman Mundale making up the middle of the pitch, with Janiel Bennett, Dylan Markhandy and Iago Santiago making up the front three, along with Keon Etete. Substitutes for the game were Josh Oluwayemi, Dante Casanova, Jeremy Kaizu, Michael Craig, Jez Davis, Callon Haysman, Brooklyn's Lions Foster, Jamie Bowden and Rashaan Mathurin. Our under-23s then moves on to their third game of pre-season preparations with a 3-0 win over Hastings United. On a night to honour their long-serving Hastings captain Sam Adams, Dylan Markandy opening the scoring for us, lashing home from close range just 7 minutes in. The creative outlet then turned provider on 34 minutes, crossing for Brooklyn's Lyons Foster to head home and double our lead. Keon Atete then came off the bench in the second half to add our third, with a fine finishing turn. Under lights in the South Coast, we immediately took the game to the Ewes, as our under-23s looked to keep up their 100% pre-season record, following the 6-0 and 4-0 wins having already been accumulated over Ramsgate and Enfield Town respectively so far this summer. We were unlucky not to have had the lead on 6 minutes as Max Robson drew a fine save from Louis Rogers in goal, but Alfie Devine worked the Hastings goalkeeper a minute later and Markandy was alert to the rebound and instinctively fired home from close range. We were, though, lucky to keep the advantage come the 9th minute as Tom Chalmers managed to beat the offside trap. However, after the winger had progressed into the box, he sliced his effort wide from the angle. That nervy moment, though, seemed to fire us back into life, as from there we kicked on in search of our second. Then in the space of 10 minutes, Rafferty Pedder and Jamie Bowden twice came close to extending our advantage, but again Rogers proved a stubborn opponent between the sticks, keeping us at bay. However, on 34 minutes, the goalkeeper did nothing to prevent Brooklyn Lyons Foster from powering home a header from 6 yards out, as he was picked out by a fine cross by the informed Dylan Markandy. We should have had our third within 2 minutes of the half remaining, but Rafferty Pedder saw his near post effort well blocked. Heading out for the second half, it was our hosts who took the impetus after we made a flurry of changes at the break, and on 54 minutes they came very close to registering through Sam Hassler as he broke away and sent an effort goalbound. However, Brooklyn Lyons Foster was alert to the forward's low range drive. We soon settled back into the game though, and by 64 minutes we had our third of the evening. Romain Mandale had come close to making it 3-0 moments earlier, as he turned and struck with vigour from the edge of the box, only for Rogers to get down well and parry. Yet the goalkeeper couldn't do anything to prevent Keon Atete when the striker's same skill and strike rattling the ball home from inside the area with 90 minutes of the second half played. The lively Mandale then came close to making it 4 on 70 minutes as he tried to find the bottom corner from distance, only to be thwarted once again by Rogers. Atete then stung the palms of the Hastings keeper with a fierce drive late on. Hastings enjoyed a spell of possession in the later stages of the encounter. They looked to get on the score sheet, but our defence held firm to collect their third win and clean sheet of pre-season. Our lineup for this game saw some of the youngsters who early in pre-season had played with the first team dropping down for the 23s. We started with Timothy Lotelata in goal, Callum Cisse, Marcel Lavinia, Brooklyn Lyons Foster, Marcus Murr, Jubril Okidina, Dylan Markandy, Jamie Bowden, Max Robson, Alfie Devine and Rafferty Pedder. And our subs for the game were Josh Oluwayemi, Jeremy Kaizu, Michael Craig, Marcus Murr, Romain Mandale, Keon Atete and Yago Santiago Alonso. Dylan Markandy's fifth goal of pre-season wasn't enough as our under-23s suffered their first defeat of the summer when they took on League 2 side Crawley Town. The attacking midfielder cancelled out Ashley Neasden's opener after Alfie Devine had pounced on a defensive mistake, but David Rodardi's header at corner 10 minutes before half-time settled the outcome at the People's Pensioner Stadium. We fashioned a couple of late chances and really should have got an equaliser when Rafferty Pedder and Max Robson twice went close and then Dylan Markandy was also denied from close range. Crawley, who beat West Ham's under-23s by the same scoreline earlier in the week, largely controlled the first period and took only 4 minutes to edge ahead as Rodardi turned home inside the box, the first goal our under-23s had conceded so far in pre-season. Our only real chance off the half followed 8 minutes later and led to our goal as Devine pounced on a loose ball, rounded keeper Glenn Morris and set up Dylan Markandy to convert his fifth goal of pre-season. Josh Oluwayemi was kept busy, denying Rodri and Tyler Forrest, while it needed Jubril Okidina's clearance to deny the latter again after he embarked on another driving run into our box from 35 minutes. From Jack Powell's resulting corner though, Rodari rose highest in the box to head home for 2-1. We took greater control in our own half following the restart and during the second half with Devine unlucky with a couple of chances. Maxim Paskotski also came close. I was delighted to see left-back Dennis Serkin introduced in the second half for his first appearance of pre-season following an injury that's disrupted his time so far, while Crawley brought on a man who used to play in Dennis's position in the academy in Nick Tessarola moments later. As the game wore on, we looked more likely to score with substitute Pedder denied by Morris and Robson's effort followed up and resulted in a scramble in the 6 yard box. We came again with a Robson header following Marcel Lavinia's delivery and Markandy couldn't quite force the ball home close range as the keeper recovered. It was an unfortunate loss for Spurs and as I said earlier, we really should have forced a draw from the League 2 side. which would have been a really good result for a young Spurs under-23 side. Our side for that fixture was Josh Oluwayemi in goal, Maxim Paskotski at right-back, who'd played heavily with the first team in pre-season, Callum Cisse, Michael Craig, Marcus Murr, Jubril Okidina, Romain Mandale, Jamie Bowden, Alfie Devine, Dylan Markandy, Iago Santiago Alonso. The subs on this occasion that were used were Dennis Sirkin, Matthew Craig, Marcel Lavinia, Rafferty Pedder, Max Robson and Janiel Bennett. The under-23s are back in action at Barnet on Saturday at the Hive. If you live in and local around North London, please do go down and support the lads. I know from speaking to some of the players, they love it when the fans go out and show support. It really adds as an impetus to them and gets them up for the game. So if you can go down, please do. Tickets for this one can be purchased through the Barnet FC website and are priced at £15 for adults, £10 for concessions and £5 for under-17s. Now let's move on to some of your listener questions since the last pod. @LucaTHFC asks, how highly rated is Brandon Austin? The fact that he's an England under-21 keeper shows he is highly rated, and I know that Spurs, you know, rate him very highly, and until this summer did actually rate him above Alfie Whiteman. You only have to look at the number of times that Austin has appeared on the first team bench over the last two seasons when he's not been on loan to know that. I think I mentioned earlier on in the show, the club will now look for a UK-based loan for Brandon this season to continue his development and see how well he develops. @SwissYiddo asks, what does the future hold for Alfie Whiteman? Well, a lot from what we've seen during pre-season, to be honest, Swiss. He got the full 90 minutes at MK Dons, having got minutes at Orient and Colchester too, and did very well, even saving a penalty after only 5 minutes of the game. We need to get a new contract sorted for Alfie, with his existing deal set to expire in 2022, as most of our keepers seem to be at the moment. So we need to get that sorted, but all indications are that he will provide backup to the keepers Pierluigi Gollini and Hugo Lloris this season and effectively be our third choice keeper. I'm sure Alf can learn a lot from these guys too, both hugely experienced, one a France international World Cup winning captain, the other a full Italy international, a vast amount of Champions League experience. But he seems to have really impressed Nuno and his coaching staff during pre-season, so the future looks good for Alfie. He's probably the most Tottenham player we've got, having been born and raised in the borough and attending Northumberland Park School. @AugustGraff asks, who's expected to stay at the club and who's expected to go out on loan? Well, we've already seen Keon Atete and Troy Parrott head out on loan, so I wouldn't expect any more young forwards to depart, with Dane Scarlett also too young to head out on loan. I was told earlier this week that Jamie Bowden had been on trial with League 2 Oldham ahead of a potential loan move, so we'll see if that comes around, and that would be an excellent first loan move for him into senior men's football. I would also like to see Marcel Lavinia, TJ and Ioma continue their development out on loan. Dylan Markandy is another who's screaming for loan, having had an outstanding pre-season for the 23s and has obviously outgrown 23s football. I'm starting to get the feeling that Toby Amole, though, will stay around the squad this season, with the young centre-back having been signed from Arsenal last summer on a free transfer, having the option to be registered in the Premier League squad, having now passed the age limit. So he might be kept around as a homegrown player, with the knowledge that if we keep him, it makes it easier to offload another player, the likes of Cameron Carter-Vickers or Harry Winks, and then still name our 8-strong squad for the Premier League squad. That's it for this week's pod. Thanks again for listening. Please do subscribe, leave a review on iTunes. It really helps get the pod out to as many people as possible. It means we can continue doing these shows throughout the season. And let me know any youth-related questions you have, and I'll get them answered on next week's show. As always, guys, the future's bright. It's Lily White.